Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH. This is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
It's draft day, everybody. Congratulations to all those who celebrate. You made it. Glad to be here with you. Jacob Albrecht, Tommy Kester alongside you for this Thursday edition, taking you up to round one of the NFL draft. We're pretty pumped up for it all the way across the board. There's all kinds of good things to keep an eye out for. The Chiefs have a lot of things they could accomplish, a lot of options for them as well. It's going to be wild. It's going to be crazy, and we'll take a final look at it here today. The Royals playing some day baseball, trying to win the series against the Blue Jays. Another win last night. Certainly something we like seeing from Kansas City. Good pitching performance last night as well. Alec Marsh did have to leave the game, though, so we'll keep an eye on that. That fifth starter for the Royals has been their best starter this many times now through the rotation. Did he get the win last night? He did not get the win last night to move to what would have been 4-5-0, but we'll keep an eye on his injury status as well. We may get some info on that today. All kinds of good stuff taking you through here. Tommy, I have a hard time here today. Not talking about anything but the NFL draft, but there are a lot of other things happening. We learned K-State is headed off to Ireland for Farmageddon in 2025, which is pretty exciting. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about Dylan Edwards, who is, you know, being reported to be interested in both K-State and KU as potential landing spots. So we'll get into all of that with Tim Fitzgerald, our K-State insider. He moves up from his normal time slot. That'll actually come in our next segment. So K-State fans, stay tuned for that. GoPowerCat.com publisher Tim Fitzgerald will join us. Lots to do, lots to have fun with you about. That IHOP hotline is open at 869-1240. Jad Chambers is on that for us. You can also leave us your comments on our video stream, which is available to you on Facebook and YouTube and X. You can listen to us live as well, of course, at kfhradio.com. If you're in your car and you've got to go inside to work or whatever it is, you can pull it up on your phone right there in the browser. It's super easy, or, of course, on the Odyssey app. We will give away some HTO today, so stay tuned for your chance to win some free tea and coffee. Tommy, how are you?
Busy day. Busy, busy day. Just in general, and, of course, getting ready for the NFL draft and all that comes with it. I know that I know it's been talked about every year. I mean, leading up to the draft, everybody always discusses it, but I feel like maybe this year more than in the last several years, there's so much intrigue surrounding the first several picks and maybe the first round in general. And I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, a deep quarterback class and all of that. So it's been so much fun to get ready for, and we're knocking on the door of the first overall pick in just a few hours.
It will be wild and crazy, which is what we want out of draft day. You know, the Caleb Williams thing makes it just a little bit less exciting because we know who's going one overall, but we almost always do. Man, after that though, Tommy, I have no idea. You've had, you know, Jaden Daniels. You heard in the update right before we came on, you know, people are saying he doesn't want to go to Washington. He's saying that's not true. Here we go with all that business. I doubt that that's true. I mean, maybe privately he's had a preference on where he goes. I think everybody, if they're being honest, has a preference where they go. They'd all like to go to the Vikings, right? Like, oh, man, I'd love to end up in Minnesota, because you would. Everybody would. Well, that'd be great. And if you're any of these quarterbacks outside of Caleb Williams, it's like, boy, what would be a best-case scenario for me? That somehow I end up with the Minnesota Vikings. He wanted to go there. Kevin O'Connell's a quarterback guy. Why wouldn't you want to go there, right? And we didn't talk about it yet, Tommy, but you've got the Justin Herbert, you know, trade rumors floating around, and, you know, we kind of laughed that off as Antonio Brown talking about it, and then all of a sudden, ESPN Bet puts those odds from 100 to 1 to 6 to 1, and it's like, well, hang on a minute. Like, what's going on? Now, I will caution you that those odds on things like that fly around wildly based on reporting and everything else. We see this all the time. So don't put too much stock into that, but it at least piques our interest. And we talked through yesterday just how unlikely that would be for about 1,000 different reasons, financially and because you don't trade away guys like Justin Herbert. But I think it's worth paying attention to because Jim Harbaugh's obvious connections to J.J. McCarthy, right? So we have all of that kind of stuff. Now, T. Higgins is requesting a trade. The Cincinnati Bengals receiver that Chiefs fans have salivated at the thought of bringing in for a long time. I don't think that's really possible, but we can get into that a little bit here in just a second. But you've got star power potentially being traded at multiple different positions. You have a quarterback-rich class in which, you know, five of these guys grayed out by different people to be NFL starting quarterbacks, you know, for whatever that means. Like, these guys are going to be names we see stick around for a long time. That's a pretty good class. You've got a wide receiver class that's as good as any we've seen on the top end. And you've got the potential for some really good players at other positions to slip. You've got, you know, trades in the first round have never been more popular than they are right now, most notably trading down. So it's all out there. Remember last year, the Texans, not only did they take C.J. Stroud, but remember they traded up and basically picked twice in a row and then ended up with Will Anderson. So there's precedent for all of this stuff to happen again tonight, and I think a lot of it will. I think this is, again, I think we're going to see trades galore. I think there's a decent chance we see some star power traded. What would you give up for T. Higgins? Probably less than what people think would be given up for T. Higgins. But something significant. So it's all out there, Tommy, and it will make for an interesting round one. The only thing that would disappoint us tonight is if it's kind of, you know, cookie cutter, which there's almost no chance it will.
Yeah, I don't think it will be, because there are so many different directions that a variety of teams can go and have these decisions to make that you could make arguments for either side. I mean, we talked about the Chiefs, obviously, leading up to this draft. There are arguments that can be made that they would be better off trading up, trading down, staying put. Like, there's not a consensus one way or another.
I totally agree.
With multiple teams. I mean, pretty much outside of the number one pick, that's kind of the consensus. You know, that we know the Bears are going to take Caleb Williams in the end. But from there, it's pretty much up in the air. I do want to address very briefly the Justin Herbert rumors. It's not going to happen. But if it does, on the off chance that it does, the Chargers are a more stupid organization than I thought they were if they make that move. Even from just basically a financial point of view, they just signed Justin Herbert to a deal last year, a five-year, $262 million deal. If they trade him, they're going to take a huge cap hit, and they're going to absorb a huge amount of dead money. So I don't know why they would do that with the talent that Justin Herbert possesses just to be able to draft J.J. McCarthy, who's unproven. So from a financial point of view, it's idiotic. And then even just from the quarterback, like, you know, talent perspective.
Yeah, you just don't trade him.
You don't trade Justin Herbert. So if they do that, you know, that would tell me that they've given Jim Harbaugh full control over that organization and the personnel and what he wants to do. And he, you know, starts off his era in L.A., in a really, really bad way. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think they're going to trade Justin Herbert to try to draft
J.J.
McCarthy.
I don't think it's going to happen either, Tommy. But let's just look at a couple of things that at least need to make us, like, kind of, you know, perk the ear up just a little bit. Obvious connections between Harbaugh and McCarthy, right? That one's very clear. the financial ramifications are probably very short term, but in the long term, you're still with a rookie contract. Like, you have to eat that early, but they are in a little bit of a rebuilding year. They've lost a lot of players in this offseason. Now, can they quickly come around? Maybe. The other thing that I think is really interesting to remember about Harbaugh, it was Harbaugh, right, that was willing to get aggressive and take Kaepernick when they still had Alex Smith, correct?
Correct.
They don't necessarily have to trade Herbert now to draft McCarthy, for one, which would be a really fascinating dynamic. Two, Harbaugh has a history of this. Right.
But so why create an unnecessary quarterback controversy?
Because I think the only reason he would do that is because, and he is, and I think he deserves some credit, right? In the short term, Colin Kaepernick, that decision took them to the Super Bowl. Now, he didn't ultimately continue the level of success that he had early on. I'm not trying to make this a Colin Kaepernick debate. I'm talking strictly about football. You know, he kind of leveled off there quickly, but in the beginning, he took them to a Super Bowl. So Harbaugh has a history of this. He's a guy that is a little unique. Like, he coached this player specifically for a long time.
He's an oddball.
Well, no, I don't mean personality. I mean his resume. You have to remember, like, he's had success at both levels. So if there is somebody, right, played the position, who, you know, all of these things, has been good at it at both levels, if there is anybody that could come in and say, guys, you got to trust me, I know how to evaluate quarterbacks, J.J. McCarthy is the real deal. He has called him the best prospect he's ever seen, best pro day he's ever seen, best quarterback Michigan's ever had. Like, all these things he's made proclamations of. Now, is that just window dressing to, you know, to prop up his guy, or does he really believe that? Let's just say he really believes that. Let's just, for a second, consider that Jim Harbaugh, who now is in the, you know, in the seat there, honestly and genuinely believes that J.J. McCarthy is the best quarterback prospect he's ever seen. If he believes that, then, and they have given him the ability to do these things, then I think that that would create this scenario where you could say, you know what? They might just do that. Because if he's right about that, then great, right? You do it. He's got to be right about it, but he has some history of being right about that stuff. So it's really, again, I don't think it's going to happen either, because I think Justin Herbert is incredible. I think that, you know, he has had some of the worst coaching we've seen in the NFL over the start to his career. I think that, you know, he has played injured a lot. And I think that we forget how unreal the start to his career was compared to the history of this league. And it's going to be a step back for him this year, because probably will be, because he's not going to have his two best weapons. I think he's a top five quarterback right now. I would not trade him. No chance. Because you just, there's no way. When we talk about, is this quarterback a potential Hall of Famer? I think that, you know, yes, I think he's a potential Hall of Famer. So if that's the criteria, and I think it is, to win a Super Bowl, I don't think you trade that away. But I don't think it's worth just totally dismissing because of the circumstances around their new head coach and what he has said publicly about one of these quarterbacks.
Look, I have been even, I think, less optimistic on Justin Herbert as far as ranking
for sure
him than you have been.
Like, yeah,
I don't put him in my top five. I think he's a really good quarterback. I think he just still has a lot to prove in the NFL. But I will say, this is not the same situation that the Chicago Bears had. This, you know, Justin Herbert is not Justin Fields, you know. And so in talking about the, you know, if you've scouted J.J. McCarthy as the best quarterback prospect, then, you know, you should entertain that. The Bears did the same thing. They scouted Caleb Williams as the best thing for the future of their franchise, and they moved away from Justin Fields. But Justin Herbert is objectively and significantly better than Justin Fields is. So that's a move that I think the Chargers and Jim Harbaugh would be absolutely crazy to make that move. Because even if you think J.J. McCarthy is incredible, I just think that you're bringing in a you're bringing in a situation, you're inviting a situation of a potential quarterback controversy that's not needed. Now, if Justin Herbert was 30 years old, 32 years old, something like that, okay, bring in a rookie, you know, that's the heir apparent. We've seen teams do that, where they do it all the time. You know, even with the star quarterbacks they have on their roster, they'll bring somebody in, you know, and let them learn on the bench. But Justin Herbert's 26. Justin Herbert has a long ways to go in the NFL. And Justin Herbert is already a really good, if not great, quarterback with the potential to be an elite quarterback in the National Football League. I don't know why you move away from that. Even if you have scouted J.J. McCarthy as incredible, I think that would be a monumental mistake for the Chargers.
Yeah, I mean, it would appear to be a mistake. I totally agree. And the difference between Justin Herbert and Justin Fields is significant, right? Fields was still like an upside play. Herbert is very much a proven commodity. Now, he needs to win at a higher clip and do all those things, but just as far as play on the field, far more of a proven commodity. I just remember Alex Smith. When Alex Smith lost his job to Colin Kaepernick, and I'm trying to remember this, you know, off the top of my head. Alex Smith, I do have these numbers. Before Alex, the last two seasons there in 2011 and 2012, Alex Smith was 19-5-1.
Yeah.
And was playing really good football. Now, the league was different then, right? You know, so don't try to compare that to like the numbers that Herbert's put up. They were winning a ton of games with him. I believe he was knocked out of a game because of injury, concussion, I think. Kaepernick got in. Kaepernick never lost the job. Alex Smith was traded. I don't think Harbaugh is afraid to go with his guy. And again, if McCarthy is his guy in that way, if Justin Herbert didn't have the contract that he has, this would be, I guess, slightly more justifiable. At the core of it, for me, I don't think J.J. McCarthy is going to be better than Justin Herbert. That's why I wouldn't do the deal, right? I wouldn't do it because I think Justin Herbert's a better quarterback. But let's say the contract wasn't signed last year, Tommy, and it was, you know, Justin Herbert about to be on an expiring contract. I think it wouldn't be that crazy at all to think about them trading him. So it's really that financial component that seems like the thing that would make this not possible. The other thing is, too, on the pro, this is all crazy, why would they ever do that side? Harbaugh took that job, right? I assume that job was the most attractive for him to take because of Justin Herbert. I mean, maybe at the time he's looking at these, he's thinking about, well, if I go here, I'll pick five, I'll have a chance at McCarthy, I doubt it, right? Like, I don't know that you can be that forward thinking. These guys haven't even been through pro day at that point. So it seems unlikely. I think he's in LA to coach the Chargers because of Justin Herbert. And I think this is probably a lot of smoke, but it's smoke that's really interesting. And we'll just watch it. I mean, we'll watch it. We'll see. And could you imagine Justin Herbert in Minnesota? Oh, holy smokes.
Well, and at that point, then you've got Justin Jefferson. I'm him. I'm sticking around in Minnesota. I'm not going to try to figure out a deal to get out of there.
That'd be crazy.
I mean, that would be a match made in
Kevin
heaven.
O'Connell? Yeah. Come on. Yeah. No. I just
it's not happening.
I can't wait.
Not happening.
I cannot wait for tonight. I cannot wait for tonight. I don't think it's happening either. Here's what I think. I think McCarthy's not going to be the fourth quarterback. I'm starting to think that he may be taken a before May or Daniels. That's what I'm kind of starting to get the vibe of. Like, he's going to be the guy that's drafted a little higher that when all of this started, we thought he would be. I mean, that's the other thing, too, if you're the Chargers. Like, what if Washington all this is like, you know what, we're taking J.J. McCarthy. Then all this Herbert stuff's meaningless anyway. L.A.'s not in the position to just have him. We'll see. He has had the most momentum, would you agree, of any player in this draft, the guy that has created the most momentum to move up. When the season ended, we weren't talking about J.J. McCarthy as a top five pick. We were like, I wonder if this guy would be any good in the pros. And something has happened, and I would imagine it's in large credit to him and in the offseason work he's done and as teams have gotten a closer look at him, I think. So that's what makes that interesting to me, too, is I just kind of feel like one of these – Who would you rather have, Tommy? Drake May or J.J. McCarthy?
Probably J.J. McCarthy at this point.
I think I would, too. I just don't know enough about Drake May. And that's the disadvantage for us. J.J. McCarthy, every game he played for the last 2 years was high profile, right? Because they were all like games that could potentially cost them their championship. Drake May wasn't in any significant games, really. Rick says McCarthy will be a bust. I don't think he'll be a bust. I don't know if he'll be like a top 10 quarterback, but I don't think he'll be a bust. I think there's a better chance Drake May's a bust. If we're talking about bust caliber and bust candidates, you know, it would be of those four, it would be May is the more likely to bust to me. And in fact, I'd say Jaden Daniels is more likely to be a total bust than J.J. McCarthy. I think J.J. McCarthy's floor is what? Jimmy Garoppolo? You know what I mean? Like, just somebody who takes care of the ball and can distribute it to good weapons if he has them. That's a compliment. You know, that's not a bad thing. I don't know. I think he'll move up. I guess I would, if I had to take him, I'd start with Caleb Williams. You know that. Who'd you rather have? And I think I know the answer to this. Jaden Daniels or J.J. McCarthy?
Jaden Daniels. I love Jaden Daniels. I love his ceiling.
That's what I thought. I think it depends on the fit. I think it depends on the landing spot. If it was, let's say, Minnesota, I'd rather have J.J. McCarthy. I need more of a distributor. But if I'm Washington, I probably would rather have Jaden Daniels. If I'm New England, I would certainly rather have Jaden Daniels. So I guess it sort of depends on the fit. I love it. I love that there's quarterbacks in here. Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, Rome Odunze. I'm also curious to see if teams may get aggressive to take one of those guys. When T. Higgins requests a trade and we see Amon-Ra St. Brown yesterday get just a massive contract, what is the value of receivers? Obviously they're valuable in today's NFL, but I mean like the value to the cap. How much should teams be investing in receivers like that? I know everyone got excited about the Amon-Ra St. Brown deal, but are you better off, you know, utilizing these guys for a couple years and then going back to the draft because there's so many good receivers now coming up? That's the Chiefs' plan of attack to some degree. Right? I think they've told us they're not going to pay a big ticket receiver. Historically speaking, paying big ticket receivers does not work well. Cooper Kupp, you might say, with the Rams in a recent Super Bowl, but he won that Super Bowl before he got paid. So I don't know. I saw the Amon-Ra thing, and it makes me think then, like, do you get more aggressive to trade like for Marvin Harrison Jr. and these high end rookies to get them while they're less expensive?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it depends on who the receiver is. I mean, somebody like Marvin Harrison Jr. or Rome Odunze or Malik Nabers probably isn't going to need as much time to develop into a pro-ready wide receiver. Like, you can probably just plug and play to an extent. I think the further down you go, look at Rashee Rice. You know, last year it took him maybe half the season to get up to speed to really be able to work his way into the rotation to be effective with the Chiefs. So I think if you're a very, very, very top-level wide receiver, then yeah, you can draft him, you can play him on a rookie deal, you know they're going to be effective pretty much right away. Then you don't necessarily have to shell out the money, you know, to pay them. You can just go back to the draft and do it again.
You letting Justin Jefferson walk soon if you're Minnesota?
That's a tough one. It's going to depend on who their quarterback is in Minnesota, I think. You know, who's going to be throwing Jefferson the ball?
And the Bengals, right? It's not. I doubt they let Ja'Marr Chase walk. You just for sure can't do two of them, right? You can't do Chase and Higgins. Higgins is really good. We'll talk about his prospects as far as the Chiefs go as a pipe dream for Chiefs fans as we make our way through. Let's take a break. There's a lot going on in Manhattan. We'll talk about K-State's announcement to go play in Ireland, the Dylan Edwards recruitment, and anything else with Tim Fitzgerald. Our K-State insider joins us next on Sports Daily.
Sports Talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
He's got all the insight of what you want to know and maybe some of what you don't want to know. Here's K-State insider Tim Fitzgerald.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. Sports Daily on KFH. Jake Ballbrock, Tommy Caster, joined by Tim Fitzgerald of GoPowerCat.com, at Life of Fitz on social media. Fitz, how are you this morning?
I am wonderful. Thanks for having me early so I can go to the dentist.
That's fun. Are you expecting cavities or work or like?
No. This is just my 6 month cleaning so I can be all shiny and new.
Well, we just put your smiling grill up on the video stream. So you got to keep that intact. You got to take care of that. Fitz, I want to start with Dylan Edwards. We'll get to the Ireland thing in a minute. Yesterday, I don't ever like to tell people what to think or how to feel or anything like that. But I feel like for K-State fans that might be like, no, you rejected us, you stabbed us in the back, all these things. I don't want to tell anybody how to feel, but my advice would be let it go and welcome this kid back with open arms if they can get him back, because he would be a really nice fit in this offense right away.
Absolutely. I mean, look, if you're in sales and someone tells you no repeatedly and then goes with another customer or another, company, you don't burn that bridge. You leave it open so that you can go back to them, particularly if they're unhappy, and get them to switch. Look, K-State did a good job at this. They never closed the door to Dylan Edwards. They were very kind about his switch. You know, there was some tension around it, but the door was always open for a return. And that's the right way to play it with Kansas kids, because we've all had that where, okay, I'm going out on my own. Maybe I should do my own thing. And then you realize, home's not that bad. And I think that's where we're at with this. I think he needs to trust the ground underneath his feet and know the people around him a little bit. He's had an interesting experience from what I'm told in Boulder.
He's definitely a guy, Fitz, that, I feel like we all know how talented he is, and we've known that for a long time. But he's definitely a kind of a plug-and-play running back, I think, for whatever program he ends up with. How do you think that, if he ends up in Manhattan and actually plays for the Wildcats next season, what's the best way, do you think, for the Kansas State offense to utilize him?
Well, they are looking for a second running back. They came out of spring and realized, hey, we got some good young backs, but we're not sure we're there yet with them being, the backup and at minimum like 10 carries a game. So they decided to go find someone with a little more experience, and Dylan pops up, and he changes the equation a little bit. He might demand more than, 10 snaps, 20 snaps, whatever that is, a game. Might be able to rest DJ Giddens a little bit more than originally predicted. But also you can use Dylan in the slot as a receiver, and he gives you an immediate kickoff, a punt returner. So there's a lot of things you can do with Dylan. And because you would have Dylan with Avery and DJ, it might create some other formations that you weren't even looking at so that you can get more players involved and really mess with the defense and who's trying to figure out who's going to carry the ball amongst that group.
There's value in keeping your star quarterback happy, too, I think. In an era where players can be lured away, having those two together is probably never a bad thing. It's just interesting. What's also interesting is, there could be potential rival schools in the mix for him as well, and that would be the ultimate acid in the wound, as if Dylan Edwards ended up at KU, because you know what? He'd really help them, too.
Right.
And that's what will be interesting to see as this plays out. This could be a great day or a terrible day for K-State fans when he makes his decision.
As I sit here right now, and of course I don't have any morning updates on what's progressing, I'll be surprised if it's not at K-State. But with the NIL, you just don't know what's going to transpire. And I'm told that's not really the motivator here. Trying to get back to where he feels like he belongs is more of the motivator. This is Dylan driven, not the family. And I don't know, maybe people in Wichita are more conscious of this, but Dylan and Avery are tight. The families are tight. There's a sense of it is coming home, even though he never played at K-State. So his father did. That hasn't been a real factor in any of this decision-making. So it's going to be intriguing to see how this plays out, because I think Texas A&M's jumped into it now, and that will be NIL. That will be a lot of money. They're throwing money around, and I guess they didn't learn from the last time that that doesn't exactly build a cohesive locker room to have everyone arguing about how much they're getting paid and playing. But, you know, it might be amount of money that the Edwards can't turn down. Again, Dylan, from what I'm told, has not been particularly happy in Boulder. It's a strange experience playing for Deion. And I've heard multiple transfers out there say, I got to get to a real football program that's run like a college program. I think Dylan probably feels the same way, to feel more connected to the campus and his teammates.
I want to segue here, and this is off topic of the Dylan Edwards situation, and I know we're going to talk about the Ireland game and all of that here in a little bit, but as we're talking about, and I just kind of thought of this because you mentioned how, you know, obviously both Kansas State and Kansas are interested in Dylan Edwards, and he's got some, at least a level of interest in both programs. I know that, and I've been following the social media over the last week or so. Do you guys still have an interview with Travis Goff at KU? And I want to know kind of what that looks like, and, you know, how that whole thing has sort of come about as it relates to the stadium project at the University of Kansas.
Yeah, that's this afternoon.
Okay.
Zach Carlson, my photographer, videographer, and I will head over. We're expecting to have a, you know, sit-down interview. It won't be long. I don't have that many questions. I think people have seen me talking about the stadium and thought I'm against it or against the Gateway. No, I like both projects. I just don't understand the connection between the two. I think they're two different projects. And I had some people up in arms because I said the Gateway project is on hold. Well, it isn't if you look at the stadium as being part of it. But, you know, the Gateway isn't being built. I mean, I think that's an indication that the Gateway portion of this is most on hold, although the Conference Center is part of this phase. But I think all the focus will certainly be on getting that stadium ready for 2025. But, no, the KU administration, Daniel Burke, called me, got it set up. They've been wonderful. And I don't expect this to be confrontational at all. I just got a few questions about funding and understanding, and could have been done by an email. But they want us to come over to Lawrence, sit down, and we're more than happy to. I enjoy going to Lawrence.
Always stirring the pot, Fitz. That's why we love you.
I know. And I don't really mean to that much. I think people have overreacted to what I'm demanding here. You know, what I want is that I just want some answers on funding. And a lot of fans have told me what's going on, often conflicting with their source being Trust Me Bro. And, you know, I just want to get a little firmer answer, understanding the financing and how, you know, it might impact other schools in the state with state-directed taxpayer funding. They're not using general funds from the state of Kansas. It has come out of a grant matching program. And, you know, every school applied, every other school is doing straight up academic concerns, and this has a stadium in it. And I'm just personally of the belief that you shouldn't, in this economic environment in which we're in right now, over the last 10 years and maybe into the future, use any kind of taxpayer funds for college athletic facilities. That's just my belief. I think we've got enough things going on in the state, and certainly the funding of our higher education has lacked a little bit here in the state of Kansas. We've got a lot of maintenance that's backed up, and I noticed KU's budget shortfall in 2022 was, you know, rather dramatic. I'm just not comfortable with any kind of taxpayer money going to athletic facilities. In this age of these kind of revenues for athletic departments, I think it probably should be mostly paid out of them. But you know what? Also, KU, that's one of the biggest points of pride in that stadium is the graduation aspect, and I respect that. I just think there might have been other ways to go about this. I just want to talk to Travis a little bit about it because I really like projects. I'm into this. I mean, I really follow the Royals Chiefs stuff. I don't know why. I can't build anything, but I just find these kind of construction projects and how they come about and how they get executed in this short time is absolutely fascinating.
Well, it's easier when you don't have to pay for it. I mean, that's...
It's...
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced. Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
I'm not talking about the KU situation because I'm not educated enough. I'm talking about the pro situation. Like, I think people are fed up with paying for billionaire projects. Let the billionaires pay for their own projects.
Yeah, I think
that's at the core of it. The college thing has more wrinkles than I'm educated up to. We'll leave that to you. But you know, it's an interesting dynamic all across the board. I get it. It's uncomfortable. Right. We can't afford to send our kids to college right now. Let's fix that. There are a lot of issues there. But at the same time, you got to keep up with the Joneses. Right. Like if you're going to stay competitive, which is important, it's an interesting debate. I'll be curious to see that discussion. I think it will be good and healthy and fine.
It might be a wonderful 5-minute video or 2-minute video. I don't know where this is going to go. And I appreciate Athletic Director Goff for setting aside some time for me, I'm more than glad to ask questions. That's what I do.
We got some pretty good athletic directors in the state of Kansas right now that are available and are open to conversations and all across the board at all three of the big universities. Yeah. And I do appreciate that. Fitz, Ireland, are you going to go?
That would be the plan. There's some other outliers there that might prevent it depending on my health. But yeah, that's the plan. It's, you know, about as I look at airfares for the equivalent dates in August this year, they're, you know, naturally next year's August isn't on sale yet. About $1,300, $1,250 a person out of Kansas City,
round trip
there. That's, you know, it's not as bad as I thought. But it's open posted. That sounds good. Family of four, that's $5,000. And I'm like, yeah, that's not as good. We won't be taking the dogs. So that cuts down so our kids aren't going. But yeah, it's a big bite for my company. I'll be honest. I mean,
but
just to send two of us over for $5,000 is, you know, for $2,500, it's a lot plus hotel.
Don't you think, though, Farmageddon, I don't know how big the stadium they play in over there is, but they're going to sell that out. I was so excited to see that game over there. A, they'll sell it out. Give Ireland a little taste of a great college rivalry. Like, I'm in. I think this is a really cool idea. And I know that, you know, you maybe sort of lose getting to have that game somewhere on one of those home campuses. But if we're taking what the best of college football is across the pond, I mean, that's good stuff. And for K-State, what's it been since the early 90s at Nebraska, since they played an overseas game? Like, it's been a long time. This will be really cool, and I think they'll sell it out.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think Iowa State and Kansas State fans will overrun Dublin and probably damage diplomatic relations between the two nations after the beer drought of 2025 hits, because these two fan bases drank all the beer in Ireland, and it'll be a shock to their economy. That's my predictions. Maybe I'm out on the limb with that one.
I don't mean to rain on the parade here, and I'm probably going to sound like, you know, old man yelling at clouds. I hate this. I hate this plan. And if it was any other game except for Farmageddon, I'd be more okay with it. But I just feel bad that, like, I know it's only 1 year, but that it's being moved away, you know, from here. I mean, from local, for whether, you know, is it Ames or is it Manhattan next year? It'd be Manhattan, right?
It's Ames.
Okay, so I feel bad for the Ames.
No, I'm sorry. This game, the Ireland game, is Manhattan.
Okay.
And then 26 is Ames. And 27, they're off.
Right. Yeah, that's true. And so,
Resolved. Yeah,
there's not a ton more games, not a lot of years left remaining, you know, on this, you know, Farmageddon, at least the way it's scheduled now. And I just feel bad that it's going away from home, you know. And when I first saw that K-State was playing in Ireland, I'm like, okay, I can get behind that. That's pretty cool. Then I saw it was the Iowa State game, and I'm like, wow, I wish it was a different one. You know, anything other than Iowa State or the Sunflower Showdown, any other opponent I would have been good with. I'm sure that, you know, overall from just the, you know, visibility perspective and the fact that, you know, you get to play overseas and all of that stuff is good. But just from, you know, the fan perspective, I don't love it. Yep. I don't love it's that matchup.
No, but it impacts local business in a negative way. A lot of fans won't be able to afford to go. They lose going to home game. They love coming and tailgating. It's just a whole family experience in the K-State culture. So there is some pushback, but there's a significant financial component for the athletic department, which in this era is going to be part of it. And also, all fans of all Big 12 institutions, you know, better get used to their fans or their programs jumping through, you know, some obstacles here to get on national TV, to be not just on national TV, but in a major time slot, you know, whether this game's on NBC or Peacock or whatever, it's going to be a highly visible week zero game. And that's the same reason why the Big 12 is playing on Fridays now. You got to find your windows of opportunity to get in front of as many people as possible. And this is one. And what's interesting about this game is the other games so far have had one really big name and then an opponent. You know, for Nebraska, they lost to Northwestern, which was, you know, not good for Scott Frost. But last year's Notre Dame and Navy, which is a good rivalry, but, you know, I mean, Navy's not going to travel. We could send our Navy. That'd be kind of effective. And then you got K-State, Iowa State, and the future one in 27 is Wisconsin-Pitt. The organizers are fired up about getting a rivalry game in their stadium.
I think it's cool. I think it's a unique opportunity every once in a while. These fan bases will deliver for them. Fitz, we're up against it here. Enjoy the dentist. You know, have a great time. Go powercat.com for all the latest on K-State. Let's do this again next week.
Sounds good, boys. Great to hear from you.
There goes Tim Fitzgerald. If you missed anything there, you can go back and listen to that for free at kfhradio.com. Those segments get put out there, podcasted form. Jad gets that ready for us. And there you go. We'll come back. More Sports Daily right after this.
Yo, I haven't got all day.
869-1240.
Time to get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. Sports Daily, this portion of the program brought to you by Crestview Country Club. It's big weekend, Tommy. We got Squishmallow Day coming up this weekend there. We got the kids all signed up. Yeah, there's always stuff for the kids, and we don't always make it to all the events, but Squishmallows, we're making it to. My kids have a mountain of them in their beds. I can't wait to add a few more. But they're going to go make these things at Crestview this weekend. They're jacked up.
I'm still unsure exactly what that is. My boys are not old enough, I don't think, to be in that world yet. So I'm in the world of Blippi and Bluey and things like that. I'm not in the world of Squishmallows.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, Pogs, it's
Beanie Babies,
okay. It's Pokemon, gotcha. Like whatever gotcha. It is, it's just that thing, you know, and they're big stuffed toys. My kids are going to make them. Crespi always has cool kid stuff. We always appreciate that about the club. It's what we use more than anything else, that pool. And they have golf, too, lots of it. So we appreciate their support of this program. Give them a call, check it out, tell them we sent you over there here from Sports Daily. We're going to come back in hour number two. We'll give away a little HTO. We're going to talk about T. Higgins, what it could mean. Should the Chiefs be in the business of T. Higgins? We'll continue to look at that. The Royals, Ken out there. We're going to talk the Royals. Don't worry. They win another one, trying to win the series today with an afternoon game that you'll hear, by the way, right here on KFH. Talk hour number two, Albrecht and Caster. Don't go away.
Yeah.
in Odyssey Sports Station. This is 97.5 and 1240 KFH, KNSS HD2 Clearwater, Wichita's most listened to sports radio.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.